Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we are happy to have join us as our guest, Kathy Toon. Kathy is an experienced healthcare executive, has over 25 years experience as an investor, as a senior executive. She is currently serving as the COO, CFO for Mirani Health. She also serves as a managing partner for Capita 3, which is an early stage venture capital fund that is focused on women founder-led companies. She has been a corporate board member as well as a nonprofit board member, and she has some great thoughts she's going to share that I think will be helpful in your career. Looking forward to today's conversation with Kathy. First off, can you give us just a little bit of your career story, a little bit of your history?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been quite varied, I guess I would say. So I by background, I'm a scientist. I started out my career doing product development in the pharmaceutical world. So did that for many years and then moved and did a master's degree also in the sciences, but then got the bug for business. So went from the science side of the world to business school, went to the investing side of healthcare, and so went into investment banking for a few years in the healthcare field, loved it, and then from there moved into private investing in the healthcare field. So since then, for 20 plus years, I've been doing investment in healthcare and now also doing operating work within healthcare. So I'm also currently the CFO and COO of one of the companies where I invested, and it's in the field of healthcare as well.
Great. So I like to ask this question of almost every guest that we have on. Knowing what you know now, if you're able to spin back time and talk to a 22-year-old Kathy, what advice would you give
her? Yes, good question. So I would say, you know, for me at least, I probably stayed too long at my first position. So I loved it. I loved the team. I got a little too comfortable probably in the world, in the corporate world, and so didn't really look around to other things as early in my career as I probably should have, which then you know, that shortens your amount of time you can spend right in the next phase of your life. So probably just got a little bit to, I would say, explore a little bit more as an early career person. The other thing I would say is what's very clear to, I think, all me and probably you today is that network building is so critical. And I think that had I known back then how critical it was, I would have worked on it earlier in my career. My network now is huge, but at that time, I didn't understand the value of it. And so I probably didn't spend the time. I mean, I spent the time on my network I had, but I didn't spend as much time growing that network as I should have done at that time.
So is there any advice that you received early on that you should have ignored?
It's probably a little bit related to the staying too long. There were a lot of people talk about risk and risk aversion and you know, the people have different risk profiles. And I think I was listening a little too much to other people's risk profile and applying it to myself and not really knowing myself well enough to know I'm not very risk averse. So, but many people are. So I probably didn't stretch as much because I thought that was more normal to be more risk averse. And I actually am not all that risk averse as it turns out.
A lot of our listeners are first-time leaders, maybe they're first-time CEOs, or they've just taken over a team. What advice would you wish you would have had prior to leading your first team?
I think as I see today, people are just, it's a stressful environment out there. And in these, a lot of these positions in any industry, including healthcare, there's a lot of stress going on in the business. All the milestones are very important and the schedules are very tight. And I think it's to understand how that stress impacts team and each person differently. I think I probably think people are like me, which clearly everybody's different. And so you shouldn't really apply your own perspectives on things to team and need to sit and listen and listen a lot in as to what they're saying and not just assume things are going well when they may not be. So just really paying attention to the team and sitting down with them as frequently as you can to understand what's going on and what's causing them issues. And what other resources, oftentimes what I'll say to people today is, what do you need to kind of break through? What is holding you back? And is it time? Is it people? Is it technology? And just make sure they have what they need.
So you've got a unique perspective. You are in the corporate world. You've been in investment. You've held a number of different roles with different perspectives. But thinking back on your experience, are there some mistakes that you see as far as of new leaders as they hire people they should avoid?
Certainly there are. I think sometimes you'll see people hire people that won't challenge them. And that's unfortunate. And that creates a pretty negative dynamic. You need people that challenge you. You need people that know more than you do. I mean, your best employee is going to be someone who knows more than you do and will challenge what you say, what challenge what the team says. And I think that when you're afraid of that kind of dynamic, it creates a bad situation in the company. Other things, I mean, I think if you are at a startup, which I am today, and I've been mostly involved with startups for my last portions of my career, we also need to make sure people understand what a startup is when they come in, and they might not be a fit for a startup. And that's critical, to understand whether they are or aren't. And, you know, it's risk aversion or not. It's, do you really understand what it takes as far as the time commitment, the level of effort required, the small team and all of the roles that you're going to play. And people need to play every role within a startup in order to make the team really function. So I think you really have to think hard about who are the people, what are the characteristics when you're doing hiring. And then, as I said earlier, just hire the highest, you know, potential person you can ever hire within a position.
So, and I think every leader during this past year have learned some lessons that they haven't had to learn previous. Anything that you think has been valuable that you've learned in the past year?
Yeah, this has been a very difficult year. You know, we've been lucky enough to, we are in healthcare, and healthcare is an industry that had a little more freedom to have office time. So we've actually had office time on and off, which has been good for us. I think a couple of things we found, we've had a few opportunities to bring in new people that we've hired. We did not right away, and we did opportunistic travel, and that having people in person is really important. And, you know, it works to do these remote things, but it's been nice to have every now and then have in-person meetings, and it's been valuable to the team building when you can, and do it safely, of course. The other thing we've found is that because of the work from home and the schedules we've all had, we found people working, you know, too much. Mm-hmm. And the online too much, and on you know, at our mercy, really, too much of the day. So we've sort of tried to institute some rules, or not rules, strict ones, but, you know, some models where we're saying, take some time off, don't be online these various times, to make sure people do take a little downtime, because I think people are working far, far more than they ever were.
Yeah, the line between personal and your job definitely can blur, and especially if you're not, you don't have the, and what I hear most people saying is that they don't have the time between meetings to kind of process what they just went through. So it's definitely can get over scheduled. Talk a little bit. You've been, as we said, on the investment side of things. So you've got a perspective. You've been in organizations. But what are some of the trends that you're seeing in healthcare? And maybe talk a little bit about kind of what your company does, and just some of the trends you're seeing.
Right. So I'm with a company called Mirani Health. Mirani is doing, they are developing a digital care platform for prenatal and postpartum care. And it's, I mean, we had a model where we initially were looking originally at the hospital setting, and we ultimately will still go to the hospital setting. But with COVID, we transitioned to the home care setting, as many people did during this past year. And so we're developing products for home care. Some of them will be clinic care. That is one of the trends we've seen, of course, is telehealth has exploded. People are willing to do care from home. Clinicians are willing to provide care to the home and through that medium. It's been quite a massive shift in healthcare for sure. I've been tracking this trend of what I call the moving care from one site of care to another. So just down classifying care. So hospital to surgery center to clinic to home, kind of that transition. And that's been going on for 40 years. It's just technology allows it to happen. This year, we've seen a very large shift to home. I think we're going to see another big one, aging in place. So we've got a large aging population, of course, in the U.S., and we are applying technology to the home setting, and it's going to expand to the aging population to stay at home, because that's a massive cost to the system to have people in higher acuity settings for aging. Hmm.
Absolutely. So we talked earlier, and I said, you know, this year I've probably had three appointments with doctors, and they've all been through a Zoom call. And so definitely things have shifted a lot. Anything that's exciting that you see, any other trends that are on the horizon that you think is going to change how things are done?
Well, so minimally invasive technologies, robotics, which enable some of that minimally invasive surgical care. So we've seen things in cardiology, for example, move from open surgery to things that are delivered through these little, you know, catheters into the body. That's a trend for some time, and it continues today. I'm invested in a company that are doing that kind of thing. What else? So we are seeing a huge change in diagnostics. Diagnostics has become much cheaper and accessible over the last 10 years, and that will continue. So it's become more available, more reliable, less expensive, and quicker, actually, which has been very important. So some of these diagnostics, you need them to be done fast in order for them to be useful. We saw all the COVID testing, for example, emerge and get better over the course of this last year. And that's a good example of that. I mean, the most valuable COVID tests are those that where the results are available within minutes, of course, right? And that's a good example of how diagnostics are moving quickly. And the FDA this year, especially in terms of COVID, has been more responsive than I would have ever imagined them to be, getting these tests through their system, getting the vaccines through their system. That's unbelievable, actually, that they were able to do that so fast.
So thinking back to what you learned as a VC investor, that you've been involved in those, and I think a lot of times startup CEOs don't get how much percentage of their time is going to be spent on raising funds. But I've had a number of have several VCs that have been on the podcast. But what advice would you give somebody that's out there pitching to investors, and what's your advice to a CEO that's in that position?
Yeah, probably one of the most, I mean, you certainly know your markets, of course, which I think most CEOs probably they're the best source of information regarding their markets. But so we know your markets, be talking to all the potential users so that you've got all the voices and you've heard what everyone has to say. Your venture people that you're going to be talking to, they're very knowledgeable about these sectors too. And they've heard a lot of pitches and they've probably seen a lot of the companies. So they're going to know a lot about those things. And what I think, in talking to your customer base, what's interesting right now is that customer base, it it shifts all the time in terms of what they need, why they need something, their viewpoints on things. And this COVID window has changed the answers to questions, right? The answers to these questions of need very quickly. So even if you interviewed somebody, you know, 18 months ago, you need to be back with them talking about the same things today because it's probably changed what they need. And then the from a fundraising perspective, these conversations, and when COVID started, I think people thought they still wouldn't invest unless they met you in person. That's probably not, it's not true anymore because people had to invest. They didn't have that luxury of waiting. But meeting in person is still going to be an important factor. But I think you, no matter the venue, it takes time. It takes time to generate the relationship and let it grow. It probably typically will take between 6 to 12. So on average, maybe 9 months for somebody to move from being a first introduction to actually writing a check into your company. So you've got to pre-sell the deal and make friends. They call it friend raising before you fundraise to make sure that those people, they sort of meet you, track you, and then can start looking at a potential investment. So it's quite a long process, but if you do those things where it's not the pressure packed fundraise route first, it seems to work a lot better.
So I'm sure you continue to stay current on trends and what's going on, but are there any books that you've read in the last, either in the past or present that you would recommend to other leaders?
Yeah. So yeah, I thought you had thrown that question out to me when we talked before, and I was sort of trying to, you know, decide what might be most relevant here, but a couple of them, I mean, a number of years ago, the book, the McCullough book, 1776, which talks about covering a year of when the United States was really formed. And what was so incredible about that was how those leaders really came together in that short period of time and with no technology to speak of, and did what they did and formed this country in this very short period of time. And it still shocks me today that they were able to get that done, number one, in probably quite a divisive period as we have today. And really do it in that very short window. So, I mean, I don't know what you take away from a leadership perspective, except, you know, everything's possible.
Sure.
And possible under very difficult circumstances. So that would be one. And the other, you know, Clayton Christensen, of course, is always referenced in terms of innovation. So I kind of look back to a lot of his writings around how you think about innovation and change. And it's important for these teams to shake things up as they think about new technology development. And that's where I spend my time. And we've just been doing this actually in my company here. You know, sometimes you have to just, you're on a path and sometimes you need to just stop and pause and reflect on, take things back to the first principles and revisit why you're doing something the way you are. Maybe you'll still stay on that same path, but at least take the time to decide whether it is the right path or you need to shift a little bit.
Being in kind of using technology, I think there is a tendency for people to fall in love with the technology versus what it's going to do for the end customer. How do you keep that focus as far as a company, just to make sure that you stay focused on what you're doing versus just kind of the shiny object syndrome where you're just kind of chasing something else versus, you know, what's really going to have an impact?
Right. And we are talking to our customers all the time. Making sure that we understand what they need, understand why they need it, and whether that's something that's got, you know, longevity or real value. So some things are going to be fringe or they're going to be small and not, they might be valuable, but not necessarily valuable enough to spend the time and the money to do it. So we're listening. We're listening constantly to them. We're then analyzing what they say against what can you monetize it? Does it really make sense for us as a business? And then does it make sense for us as a business today versus pipeline, you know, 2 years down the road? So we kind of build that pipeline and revisit the pipeline a lot because our products have many, it's a device, it's a hardware and software product. So with the software side, you can add these things a little quicker, but the timing of them and the pacing and positioning of them is what we spend a lot of time talking about.
So outside of work, we talked about the importance of kind of the balance of recharging and you know, the people tend to be working a lot of hours. What do you do to recharge outside of work?
Yeah, so we've got a lake property, as most people here in the state do. So we have a property where we spend time. It's quiet and relaxing, and spend time there, spend time with family, of course, as I'm sure everybody does. And hopefully more so this year, this summer, with COVID vaccinations being possible. And then we do with a little bit of outdoor kayaking and biking and things like that. So try to take advantage of some of the outdoor activities we have available to us.
Great. So any parting advice that you would give to a newer up and coming leader?
Yeah, I guess I'd say, you know, take the risk, right? Take the risk and with good measure. As you know, it's always about doing, for me anyway, analyze what you're going to do, and but then be willing to take that risk, because it's very easy to analyze it and say no. That's an easy one, right? But to analyze it and say yes is the hard part. And I think that's what I would say is, you know, do your work, but then don't be nervous to take the leap either.
Well, thanks, Kathy, for your thoughts, and I know this is going to be helpful for those that listen. How would somebody learn more about your company and what you're working on?
They would find us at MiraniHealth.com, and we had just renamed the company back in earlier this year. So there, you can find us on our website. You can also find us on Twitter. You will also find some investing background on me at Capita3.com, where I'm a general partner.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.